But they are going there, and they're going to share things about the Lord and just rejoice in that. And I just want to pray over Scott before he takes over. Our Father and our God, Lord, I just thank you so much for Scott. I thank you for the mighty work that you're doing in his heart and life, and the many changes that you're bringing. Lord, we just ask that you would just richly bless him. Lord, that he and Dr. Chad would be certainly protected and in safety, but mainly used of you in a mighty way. Lord, that you would just use your servants as they go with humble hearts, wanting to encourage your children, wanting to see a mighty work done in them and through them. So I pray you'd stretch him and grow him in your grace. And Lord, I pray you'd be with Rebecca and the children as he's gone and keep them safe as well. But Father, bring him back with a sweet testimony of being able to see you work there in this city where things are evil at times, just like so many other places. And Lord, we just ask that you would just guide and direct and bless as only you can, for it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. 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 You know, we have been looking at different psalms, and they are sacred songs. Each and every one of them is a sacred song. Last week, if you were here, if you remember, it opens with four names of God. You know, and I realized that later on in the psalm, I didn't tell you here's the fifth name of God. And really, it was just announcing how great our God is. And all these names just reveal to you and I just another facet and wonder of who he is and what he does in our lives. The psalm that we're going to look at this week is truly different. It only has one name of God. It's only a 22-verse psalm, but it only has one name. Translated, Lord. And the name of God that's used here, which is different from the other psalm, is Jehovah. And it is used 11 times in those 22 verses. Beyond that, there are over 30 personal pronouns talking about the Lord. And those are him, he, his, who. All of those different kinds of things just to magnify he is the God who saves. He is the God we can trust. Jehovah became, in a way, the national name for God through all of Israel during this time. This is a Psalm of David, and it surrounds the greatness of our Lord and the wonder of our Lord. And it surrounds praising that name, something that you and I should do consistently in our lives. And in our prayers, we should be praising God for who he is and all that he has brought to life. I fear sometimes that we get caught in the I need prayers, or I'm praying for the intercessory prayers, and not so much the praise praying. This is a dynamic psalm, a familiar psalm to many, but it is talking about the Lord Jehovah and the wonder of who he is and praise. I remember reading a story of a little city in Austria, Feldrich, and how Napoleon's army, they're right on the border, and so Napoleon's army is literally surrounding half the of this town and this village and getting ready to attack. And so they had a town meeting. What do we do? We're outnumbered big time. What are we going to do? Should we put out a white sheet? And should we just surrender right now and maybe they won't kill as many of us? Or do we defend ourselves knowing that ultimately we will probably lose? This just happened to be Easter Sunday morning. They saw the Napoleonic troops coming in the Saturday before and setting up camp and everything and getting ready to make their plans to attack and how they were going to do it. They met in a little church. And finally, after great discussion, some arguing and everything, the pastor of the church stood up and said, you know, no matter which decision we make, it probably is going to be wrong. We're making it all in our own flesh. We're depending on our own weakness and strength, and it's going to be difficult. Today is Easter. Let's do what we normally do this morning and leave it in God's hands. And so what they normally did throughout the whole village would be to ring bells, to call people to church. And then they would lift their voices and praising him outside and praising him and singing songs of praise to him and celebrating the resurrection of their Savior. The village people agreed, let's not watch and see if they attack, but let's do what we normally do and worship and praise our God for the wonders of our salvation. And so they began ringing the bells, and they rang the bells. They got together. They began singing praise songs and rejoicing in all that he is. And to their dismay, all of a sudden, they saw all of Napoleon's armies moving away. Moving away. See, Napoleon's armies somehow thought, because they were celebrating so much, that all of the Austrian armies had come to save the town. And so they decided to pack up and go to a different area to attack into Austria. God does great and mighty things. This psalm, this window of faith, really, really captures the fact that we are truly, truly blessed by our great God. Psalm 103. And I'm going to ask Don Drury to open our time in prayer. Don, please. Amen. I invite you to turn to Psalm 103, just a beautiful, beautiful psalm. And again, this really could be a psalm of Jehovah as well as a praise for a praise psalm of just how great he is. You know, Jehovah's blessings are new every morning. I hope in that you understand that. Jeremiah in Lamentations 3 used the same title of God in the midst of a letter that was filled with weeping and crying because Jerusalem had been destroyed and desolate, and the people of God, the Israelites, were not worshiping him, and his heart was just crushed. And yet right in the middle of it in Lamentations 3, he would share these words concerning Jehovah or the Lord. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait on him. To the soul that seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Jehovah, his blessings, they're new every day. You know, sometimes life can downright stink because of the issues that we're walking through. It can be hard, it can be difficult, and yet I want us to understand that our great God is so great, so awesome, that if he is Lord of our lives, we have that hope. We have the reality of being able to receive a blessing in the most devastating of times in our lives, the most devastating of circumstances. He is there to minister to you, to me, to our hearts, to our lives, to those around us in a profound way, to grow us in his grace. His, the Lord, Jehovah's blessings are new. Let's jump in, because first and foremost, we should praise him, for he satisfies. We should praise him because he satisfies. Notice what is stated in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We just sang that. You know, it's a beautiful song. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, we're singing a prayer to him when we do that. We're praying to him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. He is God. He is Lord. Notice how it continues on. Bless the Lord at all times, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Every fiber of your being and my being ought to be that one of blessing. Why? Praise him because he satisfies. For he satisfies us in life. Praise him for that. Notice how it continues on. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits or blessings. You know, the reality of what he does. And the psalmist, David, is going to go list a few of them for us so that we can see the things that we ought to be praising him for. Look at verse 3 with me. Who forgives all our iniquities. Aren't you truly blessed in the fact that he forgives us everything? You know, in my testimony of coming to know Christ as Savior, I did not just ask God to forgive me my sin, blanket. I just felt it necessary to try to point out 30 plus years of sins. And so I'm going back in time in my life and trying to point in everything. And I'm biblically illiterate, so I'm not sure exactly what is sin, but obviously some things I knew were. And I'm trying to name everyone to catch everything so that God hears me, but in my brokenness to call out. But he does. He forgives all of our iniquities. Amen. What a blessing we have. We ought to praise him for the joy of forgiveness. Notice how it continues on. Who heals all your diseases. Now, whether it's here or there, they will be healed. Amen? Since I've been at Rocky Mountain Calvary, one of our lay pastors has been battling cancer since before I got there. And still battles to this day. And he often points to that particular verse in his heart and mind and reminds us, you know, God could, in his words, kind of show off a little and heal me right now because the cancer is so widespread in his body. And that would be great. But I know one day he will heal my disease. What a blessing. We know we're not going to go to heaven maimed and useless in any way. I think of Nick Vujicic, you know, and the reality that he knows that in his glorified body, he will be whole before our holy God in a wonderful, tremendous way. He heals all of our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. Wow. What do you and I deserve? Death. What else? Yeah, eternal separation from God, hell, condemnation, all of those things. He came to save us so that we could be moved from condemnation into a relationship with him. That's why I love Romans 5:1. Therefore, we are justified by faith. No longer under condemnation, but the peace of God can be ours. That's a paraphrase. You know, what a joy to realize that, you know, he He redeems our life from destruction. Notice how the list continues on. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He pours it out. That's what Jeremiah cried out to God. Your mercies are new every morning. They are there. They are open. They are poured out plentifully in your life and my life in a great and wonderful way. His loving kindness, his head, and that's the word there, which often is linked to salvation, and his tender mercies, not getting those things that we really, really deserve, the destruction that we deserve. He pours out his loving kindness. You know, I think that one of the things that gave me pause to trust Christ as Savior was to question the loving kindness of God. Even after I was presented with the gospel, now part of it might have been just because of upbringing and does he really love me kind of thing, versus the reality, this is the character of God. He cannot stop loving his creation, you and I. He can't. He can't withhold it. He pours it out. It is his character in a wonderful way. He pours it out. What a joy. And when you get to Romans chapter 5 again and get down to verse 5, well, let's turn there. Let's turn to Romans 5. Keep your finger right there in Psalm 103. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture. That way I won't mess up verse 1 again. Romans 5, notice in verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, no longer under condemnation. We're now at peace. Through whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Because, get this, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who he has given us and resides within us. You know, the love of God is continually poured out into your life and my life, and the wonder of it. You know, his loving kindness and tender mercy. He crowns us with that. Through the indwelling of his Spirit, we have that. Go back to Psalm 103 and notice what verse 5 says. As this continues because of his redemption, because of his constant care over us. Notice, he satisfies your mouth with good things. Now, what does that mean? That means we ought to be able to praise God. We have something to celebrate. We ought to be able to thank others or with thanksgiving speak of him in those terms. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I want you to know today I wish that was real and I could make cuts on a football field. I can't. But, you know, and I know that I'm just getting a little bit older, but the truth is my soul should rejoice like a young man and be excited about who God is. And he satisfies our mouth with good things. To be able to praise him, in a wonderful, beautiful way. Secondly, is to praise him for his righteous judgment. Well, think about that. He is going to judge everything righteously, everyone righteously, through all that he is. You know, and as we consider praising him because he satisfies us, part of that satisfaction is that we can trust him with our soul in how he's going to deal with everyone who has ever lived, everyone who is ever going to live, and every scenario that is out there. He's going to do it, and he's going to do it far better than you and I could. you know, in every way. Notice what he says in verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Know of God's people said? Yeah, he's going to do that. You know, we think of all of the Christian martyr situations that are happening in the East right now, in the Near East, and all of those countries, and the reality of how many people in Kenya are losing their lives because of their faith in Christ. Renounce your faith. No. And they die. You know, and we look at that, but the Lord executes righteousness. He allowed his children to walk through that in the past. He's continuing to allow that. We can ask why, but yet we can sit back and say, our God is still on the throne. He is the one that is the righteous judge. He will do that in your life, in my life, and he does that in everybody's life. Verse 7 says, he made known his ways to Moses, and his acts to the children of Israel. Thinking about that for a second, and David is reminded, you know, here by the Spirit of God, of just how great God revealed himself to Moses from day one, preserving his life, floating in that little basket, and ended up being raised by the daughter of Pharaoh, and then, you know, rejecting it all to become a part of Israel once he realized he was Jewish or Hebrew, and then running for his life because he foolishly killed somebody, and then he becomes a sheep herder, you know, for a long, long time. Then he gets confronted by God again in a burning bush, and he has to go back and share in Egypt that God wants his people to go free. You know, and then they're the 10 plagues. Wow. Now, and you need to know that every one of those plagues was pointing at a deity of Egypt. All of their false idols that they had, they worshipped a myriad of them, and every single one of those was pointed at one of them. And the children of Israel, weren't overcome with them. The land of Goshen was always protected. The children of Israel were always protected until the last one, and that was what? Passover. They opened themselves up if they refused to put the blood of the lamb on the doorstep. Then they suffered the same consequence that all of Israel did, trying to point them to the reality that Jesus Christ would come and give his life. I can't imagine being an Israelite at that time, and this is a bunch of hooey, and not doing what God called them to do, and then have their eldest child die. You talk about being crushing. I can't imagine that. You have the Red Sea, you have manna, you know, you have water coming from a rock, giving water to millions of people. Now, who can do that? God, and only God. And so David says, you know, his righteous judgment is real. What happened to the Egyptian army as they tried to go through the sea? Oh, they were consumed in God's wrath. You know, he made known, God, the Lord Jehovah, made known his ways to Moses and all of these acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. I remember when Moses is on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments and he comes down, what's happening in the camp? Yeah, they'd made a golden calf. They were, you know, worshiping a false deity. They're responding lustfully to it in every way, which was just atrocious. Did some die that day, but yet, in the end, God provided a way in his mercy, in his grace, rather than just wiping them all out. Now Moses said, don't. you know, don't, because then all the Egyptians would say, yeah, he took them out to slaughter them, rather than to minister to them. For me, you know, I did not turn to the Lord the first time I heard the gospel, and I'm so thankful that he is slow. His long-suffering is real. It is that, and his grace and mercy and long-suffering are so tangible character traits that you and I can walk in moment by moment each day. His righteous judgment. Praise him. Verse 9 says, he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Again, he's removed the condemnation that we justly deserve. He has removed that. He pours out compassion on us in life. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear and honor him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. You know, if you remember, about a decade back, Casting Crowns made a beautiful song out of that. As far as the east is from the west, the wonder of all that he has given us. And that reveals to us that he will not remember that sin anymore. In this sense, we are removed from its judgment, his righteous judgment. And so he sees us through the righteousness of Christ, because it is forgiven. Now, he remembers, God can't forget, but he chooses not to put it to our account anymore. Ah, the wonder of who he is. That's the righteous judgment that he's going to bring and judge all of us by. Notice how it continues on, looking at his great compassion. Verse 13, as far as a father pities or is compassionate to his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him and honor him, walk by faith. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Yeah. He formed us out of the ground. We are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as the flower of the field. So it flourishes, and the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. Now, that's where we were last week in Psalm 91. We were reminded, well, if we live to be 70, you know, or perchance 80, you know, great. You know, I resemble those numbers. Yeah, that's a reality in life, but it's just a whisper compared to eternity. I wish I had a spray can. I used to do this when I'd buy deodorant in a spray can. I don't anymore, mainly because they're outlawed. But I'd go psh, like that, you know, and the mist would come out and the whole place would stink a little. But it would just come down and you wouldn't see it anymore. And we have to realize, you know, whether it's 70, 80, 90 years, really life is like that. It, compared to eternity, it's just for a moment. And God has created you and I for eternity. Sin interrupted that. It brought about death and disease and pain and suffering and all of those things. He just wants us to rely on him in life because of all that he gives us in his righteous judgment, this compassion that he pours out into our lives. Look at the last few verses of this section. But, I love that, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who honor them and fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those who remember his commandments to do them. You know, obedience to the Lord, his commandments are not burdensome. You know, I often thought that, you know, Christianity, as I looked at Christians around me, they have no fun. And I want you to know that's a lie. That's a lie. I don't know about you, but I enjoy being a child of the Most High God. I have fun, and I love being around God's people. I love celebrating God with them and rejoicing about God with them, as well as talking about worldly things. I'd love to play sports with them back when I was able, you know, and those kinds of things. But just pursuing God together and alone and honoring him and obeying his word and wanting his word to wonderfully transform us from the inside out, that is such a joy, such a wonderful joy. I am fearful that the generations behind us, we know and we've heard up here and we've heard from Alex that the millennial group is just running from the church for whatever reason. Part of it is the fact that they don't get excited because they don't see us old people, being excited about who God is in our lives. I'm convinced of that. Life becomes a humdrum, woe is me for many. And I don't mean to point at older people, but, you know, we can get there a lot faster than, you know, when I was 16, I kind of thought I was invincible. But he yearns to meet our needs in a wonderful way and for us to be able to celebrate him in life. Now, that doesn't mean life is absent of pain and struggle. I don't mean to even begin to apply that and to believe that. I know that, but yet enjoy who God is. Why? Because he is the righteous judge of us all. He is also sovereign. You know? Isn't that a joy? We ought to praise him. There's nothing that happens in this world that he doesn't know about. He doesn't understand. He doesn't allow. You know, we can look at things and say, why I don't understand why. You know, I look at Job and I don't understand why. But yet in the end, Job realizes he's God. And he worships him and he celebrates him. You know, and his wife even got so frustrated because he was still calling out to God, you know, why don't you just curse God and die? Now, she was, you know, I think she gets a bad rap. I think she was just hurting because her husband was in such pain with the boils and losing family and everything else. But yet, Job doesn't move. He rejoices. Was he hurting? Oh, I can't imagine how he was hurting. And in the end, God richly blesses him and his wife. She gets to carry 20 more children. You know? And the joy of that and the wonder of who God is. God is so good in the midst of heartache. And we need to understand that because he is sovereign. Notice how the psalmist David establishes that. Verse 19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." Amen? You know, there's so many little gods, little g, down here, trying to really dominate the world in so many ways, in so many different evil ways. And you know, they don't have a hope. God is in control of it all, and his kingdom rules over all. I love verse 20. "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word." You know, they are there. They are his ministering servants. They are real in a wonderful way, and they excel in strength. You know, one angel could wipe out a whole army in no time, you know, earthly army. They do his word. They obey him. And that these are the holy angels, and I understand that. You know, heeding the voice of his word. You know, how much more should it be for you and I to heed the voice of his word and to celebrate doing that, wanting to grow in him every step of the way? You know, his sovereignty, his mighty angels listen to him and serve. Verse 21 goes on to capture that and says, "Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure." I can't imagine the celebrations that go on in heaven. I can't imagine. But they're real, and they happen. You know, if one of you today who doesn't know Christ as Savior were to trust Christ as Savior, there'd be this big celebration in heaven. And no offense, Alex, but they'd probably blow our worship team out of the water and how good they do it and how loud they do it. You know, and the wonder of it, they celebrate God's grace, even though they don't quite understand it. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, they don't quite understand it, this thing, salvation, they look into, but yet they rejoice because they know that it pleases God. How about you and I? Where are we? You know, I got thinking of this, you know, and, you know, about our praise-o-meter, you know. Some days my praise-o-meter, you know, it's not moving, you know, let alone being in the good stage or the, you know, excited about who God is in my life. And I know it goes through different places in our lives, but I'm confident if we remember, honestly remember that He is Lord, and He is the one that satisfies, and His righteous judgment will prevail. He is sovereign. He does rule. Even His angels listen. Then you and I ought to praise Him wholeheartedly everywhere. Look at verse 22. I love it. You know, bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, look at that. All of His works in all places of His dominion. Now, where does He not have dominion? You're right. He has dominion everywhere. You know, and so everywhere you and I go, in every circumstance of life, there should be a little bit of praise because we know God is still in control. Or tremendous praise because we celebrate God is in control. You know, you and I come apart from the world, you know, every Sunday to celebrate who God is. You know, there's no greater way we can do that than surrounding communion. And today is going to be a self-serve day. Now, for some of you, you might not have ever done that before. And I'll just kind of talk you through that. You will get your own elements. And I'm going to give you four questions to pray about and ponder before you take communion. And celebrate it there with your spouse or with your family or by yourself. And just rejoicing in the bread which represents His broken body. You know, your sin, my sin was placed in His body. He suffered all the wrath of God. Let's not just look at the physical things that He suffered, the whipping, the beating, the crown of thorns, the piercing of the nails, the piercing of the sword, but concentrate in that body. He suffered for your sins, the condemnation and wrath and justice that you and I deserved. So when you partake of that little bitty piece of cracker, you're remembering that. Then the cup, a little bit of grape juice, it represents the shed blood. You know, as I shared with the men on Thursday night, that old hymn, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." You're celebrating the forgiveness, the compassion, the grace, the mercy, the loving kindness of our God. Here are the four questions I'd like you to consider. Is Jehovah this valuable to you? In other words, I can't imagine how elevated David's heart is as the Spirit of God is having him pen this, and he is celebrating. I don't know if it's surrounded bringing the ark back to Jerusalem and him being, his coronation and everything else, but I just know he is excited about how great Jehovah is. You and I ought to value him that much as well. You know, does he rejoice your heart to praise? In other words, does he really, really honestly be a part of your heart to where you can celebrate? If you can't, then maybe you need to ask yourself if you know him as your personal Savior. He died for you so that you could be set free from the fears and the things of this world. Died for me, the same thing, but mainly he broke the bondage of sin in our lives. That's why we need to repent. God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I'm lost and undone, and I trust Jesus Christ the Lord alone as my personal Savior. Then he'll rejoice your heart to praise. Does he satisfy your soul? Do you find moments in your life where you just say, God, you're so good to me. You do satisfy my mouth with good things, my life with wonderful things, because you are God. You reveal yourself so wonderfully and magnificently, consistently. And last but not least, does your prayer life consistently contain praise? You say, thank you. You rejoice, God, you're so good. You know, a lot of the time, I won't say every time I look at Pike's Peak out there, God's mountain, I just go, wow, God, you are good. I don't want to just have an object draw my attention to praise him. I want my prayer life to reflect that. God, you saved my wretched soul. I deserve condemnation. I can't believe you would want to save me and rejoice in that. Maybe one of those questions kind of caught your heart. And as I invite the worship team to come back up as we partake of communion, consider the questions. Pray about. If you're lacking in one of them, pray about. You know, and after the first song, we will have a couple over here, and I'll be over here to be able to meet with you. If you just, your heart is just heavy and you just want prayer, that's okay. Come up during the second song, and let's pray. But remember, you're celebrating his death, burial, and resurrection. It is meant to be a celebration of praise for all that you have, all that I have, in Christ our Lord. Let's pray. I'm going to ask you to stand so you can come out. Our Father and our God, we just so wonderfully thank you for all that you've given us in Christ our Lord. Might this world not beat us down so that we stop praising you. Might we grow in your grace. Might we be able to truly celebrate the life that we have in Christ our Lord. You are Jehovah. Ah, Lord Almighty. And you have brought it to pass through all of your loving kindness, grace and mercy and compassion, the wonders of salvation, the perfect sacrifice. Oh, Father, if there's one here today who's never trusted Christ as Savior, might they do that right now? For the rest of us, Lord, would we consider our praise? Where is our praise, O meter? Because you are our God. Father, would you fill our soul with joy and hope? because, just simply because, you are God and you have brought us into this dynamic relationship with a true and living creator of us all, Jehovah. Bless our time of communion. Meet every need of every heart here through your riches and glory, in whose name I pray. Amen.